Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Temcast, the official GBA Temp podcast. Today, I'm joined by resident financial expert, Eric Zander.
Don't call me that. No. Hi, it's the resident attorney here, Eric Zander.
Yeah, call yourself whatever you want, Eric. Whatever. And today, we're joined by Temcast regular, Steven.
I have an announcement, boys. I got big news.
What?
I got lucky. I made it big. Lady luck was shining on me. I got a PS5. Nice. Yeah, that's right. That's right, boys.
This lucky son of a bitch.
You're sitting in the company of royalty. Oh, nice jealous. Disc PS5, too. Oh, lovely little disc slot on there.
You got a disc one?
Didn't even want that, but you know, if that's all I can get, I guess I'll have to.
So frustrated.
Get that little disc got on. It's fine.
You can send it to me. I'll pay for the shipping.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you've got your GameStop money, right?
Oh, okay. Speaking of that, no, I don't have any GameStop money. So I'm sitting here. Well, I would never drink on the podcast, but
he's drinking. I can see him drinking right now.
So GameStop, that was a funny situation, wasn't it? So we sort of talked about this last time. Again, no financial advice. Glad it wasn't financial advice, because if anybody listened to me, you're in trouble. Let's see, what is GameStop's current stock price at the time of speaking, which is Thursday, 4 minutes before the market closes? Ooh, the stock price right now, GameStop is $53.90.
Ooh, oh, God.
Now, the high of this month, I believe, was 400, right?
Yeah, I think.
This is showing that the highest was 371, but I know at certain points, anyway, it was in the hundreds, several hundreds, close to, if not more than 400. I know pre-market, sometimes it bounced up to over 500.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
But that was pre-market. But I guess during just market hours, it capped off around 400. The highest that I see is 371.82. Anyway, it is 53.97, boys. So I guess people are still, I mean, some people on the Wall Street Bets subreddit are still waiting for it to bounce back up. You know, the squeeze has yet to be squozed. I don't know. I cut my losses early on. I didn't lose a ton of money, but I was one of those paper-handed bitches and only lost a couple hundred instead of losing a couple thousand. So,
like the diamond hand Chads.
Yeah, yeah. No, I want it to go up. Like, I want it to be like, oh, yeah, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I lost a little bit of money. But wow, those people who held on, like, good for you. We kind of just have speculation for why it went down so much when everybody was really anticipating the squeeze to get squozened by this point. A lot of it, people are saying, has to do with the fact that Robinhood and other apps stopped you from being able to actually buy anything. So it allowed the hedge funds to do these ladder attacks where they're just trading back and forth between each other at lower and lower prices to eventually bring the price down. And everybody's like, listen, that's the best they got. That's all artificial, but it brought the price down. So I don't, you know, it sucks. And, but that's what they did. And it seemed to have worked, so they're like, well, it's their fault for doing the ladder tax. It's Robin Hood's fault and all of this. And if everything worked out, then it would have skyrocketed to the moon, to Andromeda, to freaking whatever. I think that Andromeda is as far away as you could possibly get. No. I don't know much about the universe. It's finite, right? Yeah. There's like two galaxies. Yeah. So
there wasn't before Trump built that wall out there on the other side of Andromeda.
Yeah. And then, you know, eventually Andromeda is going to mix with the Milky Way and they're going to make sweet love. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Apes, rocket ship. Well, I found out that the real prize was like the friends I made along the way, because, you know, I made some good friends with this whole stock market situation with some of the other boys on staff and girls on staff, you know, we're hanging out, so that's cool. But yeah, the dream might be dead for some people. If you haven't gotten out yet, good on you. Good on you. That's all I have to say.
To those who didn't get Eric's secret code, because legally he can't actually give financial advice. He's already said that. That's true. However, he's speaking in code, and I've already decrypted that code, so I'm going to tell you what he really meant. GameStop is at a low right now, and the golden rule of stock market stuff is buy low, sell high. So if you have a house, sell that, get a mortgage, get another one, sell your car, you know, whatever, your children's college funds, which I know every GBA temp member has, you just put that into GameStop, because in a couple of days it's gonna hit, what do you think, $1,000? Is that right, Eric?
$1,000 isn't a meme. That's what I heard. That's what I read. $1,000 isn't a meme.
At the very least, take all your games down to GameStop, trade them in for cash, and invest like $5-6 into the GameStop stock.
Yeah, it's like GameStop, where I bought in at, you know, a 300 something, and then I resold it for 200 something. So it's exactly. It's GameStop value. Well, I made this joke.
That's better than GameStop value.
Much better, yeah. Well, I got out early. Some people are buying. Oh, yeah, you know, I bought it at $420, and now I'm going to sell it at $57. So let's see. Markets closed a minute ago. It closed at $53.
Ouch.
So, yikes. Oh, yeah, I mentioned this on the forums, but I'm considering the money that I lost is reparations for all of the games that I pirated in my youth.
Yeah.
So... So I retroactively paid for all of those like Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Oops.
But then again, you sent the money to GameStop, who sells used games anyway. So Nintendo wasn't, you know.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, no. I'm not trying. Yeah.
So really, the money's still going to the wrong hands.
I'm not trying to reimburse Nintendo. I'm reimbursing GameStop for. Yeah.
That's true, I guess.
Remember when in 2013 or 14, when the PS4 and Xbox One were released, when Microsoft actively tried to kill the used games market by trying to implement some kind of DRM? Oh, this game has already been played on another system. You can't play it now. And then Sony just won the entire generation by allowing used games to work. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was great.
That's when you should have invested in GameStop.
But after the Microsoft conference, before the Sony conference, it was the peak moment for GameStop.
That, how many days was that?
I thought it was the same day.
Maybe was one day. Yeah. I thought it was a day, because it was like Sony let Microsoft go first. It'd be like, so let's change some things really quickly. The PS4 reveal was much better than the PS3 reveal, I'll tell you that. Guys, be wary of the internet telling you what the next GameStop stock is going to be, because this is not a very common occurrence. Don't gamble all of your money away. Be smart. Invest in index funds, ETFs, blah, blah, blah. Shit like that. Or don't. I don't care. I'm not giving financial advice. Just don't be stupid. Or be stupid. Fucking do whatever you want. It's just,
but don't be stupid with more money than you can afford to be stupid with.
Yeah, unless you want to, and then do it.
Yeah, that's true also.
So do what you want, but don't be stupid unless you have to be. Did you guys know that the average age of a GBA temp user is 32? Is that what Costello said? Yeah, in their 30s.
I heard that.
I don't know. That blows my mind. I really.
You don't believe him?
I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of old, and I'm 27.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that either.
Maybe he's talking about the staff, because that I would believe. But the rant, you can't tell me that the average user who posts, "Hey, how do I hack my Switch?" is a 33-year-old man. I refuse to believe that.
Maybe it's not active users. Like, maybe there's a bunch of old accounts from 2002, and those people would have been like 12 when they signed up, and now they're 32.
Oh yeah, and another factor is that most of these kids, they don't put in their real age. I didn't when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, I'm 113 years old. Sure, of course.
What are you doing, Alan John?
I'm showing you with my hands. I don't know how to show a segue, so I'm just This is a segue, and I'm signaling to you guys that we're going to segue into this next topic, and I have no idea how.
He was sort of miming, sort of like Mr. Mime from Pokemon. Like we got a segue over here. Do you guys like Pokemon? Do you like shiny Pokemon specifically?
Oh, they're the best, man. I'd be willing to pay like as much as like $40 USD for one.
Oh my God. Would you be willing to pay $41.73 for a single shiny Pokemon?
No, that sounds... That's criminally overcharged. That's a lot.
Speaking of it being criminally overcharged, you're right. There was this dude from Japan, 23-year-old dude from Japan. He is in jail now for selling shiny Pokemon. Steven, you're the one who found this, so you want to say more about it?
That's basically everything I know.
Well, I'm going to read the article that Steven linked. I think that qualifies me as somebody who knows more about this. So, according to this article from Asahi, and this is from Resetera.com, is Resetera a competitor to GBA Temp? Are they like GameFAQs?
I don't know, man. You gotta be. We don't have to talk about GameFAQs again.
Yeah, we're not talking.
Because I'm remembering an old comment that somebody left. I don't know. You're pro free market. If Resetera, if they're a competitor, we're going to shill for them right now, because this was actually posted in their thread by the Serebii webmaster. So they're like the premier Pokemon news people, or at least they were back in the day.
Okay, so according to this article from Asahi, and I'm reading this article right now, a 23-year-old man from Minami-ku, Nagova, violated the law by hacking and altering save data for Pokemon Sword and Shield. He admits the charges. In April last year, he responded to a request from a 36-year-old man in Kyoto to receive a Sobble. What's a Sobble? Sobble?
He's one of the starters in Sword and Shield.
Oh, okay.
He's the water one.
The accusation is that he modified details with his PC and sent the Sobble to the man in exchange for 4,400 yen. That's 4,400 yen, or $41.62, I think. It is believed that the man has earned 1.15 million yen, approximately $10,000, for doing this service from November. Wow, that's a good salary right there. Currently, no details on any fine and or additional punishments, unless I missed it. It is worth noting, in Japan, the editing of save data is illegal as of 2019. Wow, that's something I didn't know. So, is it just the distribution part that's illegal? Or if I, like, hack my Dark Souls save, am I going to jail?
Huh. All I have is what they say, the editing of save data and distribution. The way that it's worded makes it seem like editing the save data by itself is illegal, but that doesn't sound right to me. That sounds insane. Seems like something we would have heard about, but maybe it is the distribution.
Well, I mean, the distribution of edited save data being illegal is also pretty crazy. I mean,
yeah, it is, because you're right. Cause it's sort of like, yeah, for Skyrim, if you edit the save data and then distribute it, yeah, that sounds really weird.
That's insane. Can I point out, so if you look at the actual, this wasn't included in the Reset Era post, but according to a Google translated version of the Asahi article, the 23-year-old man that was charged with this is unemployed.
Why would he be?
Oh, what a way to make your money, though, while you're unemployed. Like, that's wild. Like, do you think he thought, is this his startup? Is he trying to make a living off this? Is he going to turn it into a career?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's big government coming in, squashing small business.
Yeah, what do you do for a living?
I get people shinies. He'd be like, I cultivate shiny things, and people will think he's like a gold miner or something, working hard, breaking his back.
What just blows my mind is that he charged people $41 for it. This cannot be a service that would warrant that. There's got to be an easier, cheaper, probably a free way to get shinies into Sword and Shield.
Here's the thing I actually wanted to talk about. Back in 2016, 2015, I might be wrong, Nintendo introduced this service called Pokemon Bank, which was basically a thing you installed on your 3DS, which allowed you to migrate Pokemon from previous games, and then you can keep them in this Pokebank, which would be a paid service, around $5 per year. And you could actually keep your Pokemon on this Nintendo server and then migrate them to newer games. So the thing about it that was interesting that people tried to put hacked Pokemon into the bank system, and for some reason it didn't work. So Nintendo had some kind of method of finding out if a Pokemon was legitimate or not. So if you had like any Pokemon like a level 100 Charizard with all maxed out stats and it's a shiny and you got it as a starter Pokemon for some reason, then yeah, it's not getting through the Pokemon bank system. Now right now there's a new system they have that's called Pokemon Home, which is basically just Pokemon Bank, but it's for the Switch. And I suppose it has the same kind of securities as Pokemon Bank did. So no hacked Pokemons allowed. What I suppose is why people were paying money to this dude is that he figured out a way to make legit Pokemon. Well, basically hack in legit Pokemon, legit shiny Pokemons, which were hacked. That's just a theory. I mean, I have no idea, but I wouldn't see any other reason for why Nintendo would go actively just find this person otherwise.
Well, I think that there are hacked Pokemon that you hack on the 3DS games or the DS games and get to the 3DS games, blah, blah, blah. I think that you can get hacked Pokemon if you do it correctly. I mean, I haven't done it, but I imagine, because I don't even have a Switch, but like, or I don't own my own Switch, I have my brother's Switch. But like, if you have a hacked Pokemon, right, but you make everything look legitimate, I don't see how they could notice that. I know that there's like hidden values, but like, there's got to be some programs out there that let you do that. But the thing is, this guy was paying $41 for a hacked, Steven, you said it was a starter Pokemon for Sword and Shield. Yep. So maybe it's harder to get hacked Pokemon from that are only in Sword and Shield. Maybe this guy wouldn't have paid $41 for a hacked shiny Charizard. You know what I mean?
Can you get shiny starters?
Because a hacked shiny Charizard probably could have been able to get in there. If Charizard's even one of the Pokemon that can be in Sun and Moon, Sword and Shield. I don't know much about Pokemon anymore.
I think Charizard is actually the only starter that's available from Gen 1 in Sword and Shield. I think that's the one.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I think the other starters were introduced in, like, DLC.
Okay. That doesn't even make sense to me. Like you'd think that they put all of Kanto in at the very fucking least. I don't even have any skin in this race, but it still makes me upset. Like, I don't even have the game. I don't even want the game. But I'm still annoyed. They didn't just let you have all the Pokemon. Are you kidding me? All right, sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
I can see why this guy would pay for it, though, because the way to get a shiny starter is fucking insane. So starters don't spawn anywhere, so you can't go shiny hunting for them, and normally you could just restart your game over and over and over and over again until that you happen to be given a shiny one when you started it. But they locked that out in Sword and Shield, so the only way to get a shiny starter is to get two Pokemon together and breed one of the starters. And then there's a 1 in 4,096 chance that it'll be a shiny. That's wild.
Well, it's not wild because star Pokemons, you can't find them in the wild.
That's true. Hey.
I love how the laugh track just cuts out immediately after you start it.
Speaking of cutting off things immediately, Google has shut down completely their internal game studios for Stadia, which existed for like, what, 3 days or something?
It launched in late 2019, so like just about a year, or just over a year.
Well, no. Stadia itself, we're talking about the internal studio that they started.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so they're closing that down completely. There's two possible reasons for this. Theory number one, Google is giving up on Stadia. This is the most likely reason. Theory number two, Google realized it doesn't really make sense to build their own team from the ground up. So instead, what they're going to do is they're going to acquire a big team and a big IP in order to create an exclusive. I've heard this theory on various YouTube channels, speculators, and one of them is Google might either purchase Sega or they might ask Platinum Games to create a game specifically for Stadia. So, like, what they need basically is exclusives, because everybody has already their, you know, streaming, their own streaming service. You got PS Now, you got Xbox, whatever they have. You got Amazon now with their whatever it's called, Amazon
Luna
game. Luna. What an original name. Yeah, I remembered that name quite well. And so, yeah, what they need is exclusives if they actually want to progress in the gaming streaming, you know, sphere. However, I think they're just giving up. And yeah, I don't think Google Stadia is even going to make it past 2021.
Yeah, so for what it's worth, Google did say that they are going to be focusing on partnering with other companies for Stadia moving forward. Like, they're going to keep working on the technology and partnering with other companies for games. So, but I mean, what else are they going to say? They're not going to say they're going to completely give up on Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
Although the way they say that, they're not saying they're going to be acquiring anyone or even necessarily looking for exclusives, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure if they would acquire anyone after shutting down their whole, you know, internal teams. Cause like they did, I think, get some exclusives for Stadia. I don't know if they acquired full teams or not, but it seems like it'd be weird to shut down all the internal teams they had and then acquire someone else rather than just consolidating a new team into the sort of brand that they had, right? But they might just be getting exclusive games from second-party or third-party studios.
It could also be that they have no ulterior motive. Google is known for shutting down things that it makes relatively quickly. There's a website, killedbygoogle.com.
Yeah.
I just re-looked it up. They've killed over 224 things. Over 223 things, at least 224 things they've shut down that they set up. So this is just the latest in a trend of, this didn't work out for us. We'll try again. We'll get them next time. Google stock went up recently, so
nice.
That's a good news for them.
You know, I'm happy for the shareholders. I'm not happy for the people who actually bought Stadia games at full price. I feel really bad for those people. Like, once the service shuts down, you basically wasted like $60 on a copy of Watch Dogs 3 that you can't even play anymore. It's just gone. Bye bye. Thanks for playing.
For now, at least Stadia is still around. It's just the stupid studio.
Yep. So. Not for long.
For now, though,
I can guarantee you.
Yeah, we'll
that.
See what happens. See that? We'll see. We'll see. I'm sure they give everyone a refund. You know, Google is. They commit no evil.
Yeah, Google is their friend.
I'm kidding. I realize, like I'm making it clear, like with my facial expressions, that I'm sarcastic, but you guys can't hear that. Audio listeners, f*** you.
And even people who watch on YouTube, because it's not like this video has been posted.
Yeah, exactly.
One day, once I purchase proper webcam that doesn't look like it's from 1993, and once Steven, you know, fixes his situation with his face, and... Yeah. Whatever.
once Steven goes through his surgery and gets unuglied,
our goal is to have the sponsor or to have the podcast sponsored by a plastic surgeon, and I will get the free plastic surgery.
Are you gonna write a GBA temp review about it?
No, yeah, like I will.
Video review.
It'll be a video review. It'll like, if, you know, if I'm a little late recovering, I'll make it a recommends. I'll make my face look like Tempe's.
Oh my god, that would have been horrible. Just one eye is like a D-pad. The other's like four buttons. Jesus.
And he sews my mouth shut and cuts off my nose. Just.
It's gonna be 3D printed. Oh my! I can just imagine Stevie with that, and it's gonna be blue too. It's gonna
have a blue. But it's only my face. The rest of my skin is still white.
He's gonna look. He's gonna be white as hell, and then just blue Tempe face.
That'll be great. Plastic surgeons apply now.
We don't know if Steven's white.
Oh yeah, I guess we technically don't, even though we're all sitting in the same Texas-based studio at the moment. I've never actually looked at him.
Yeah,
it's pretty dark in the studio.
I mean, listen, in Texas, you gotta, you know, blend in and pretend to be a little white sometimes. So,
can we say people from Texas are dumb?
Like, we're not from here. We just have a studio.
We just rent the space. Right, we all fly in from our, you know, different corners of the world once a week to record the Tempcast.
Well, we make so much from our ad revenue. By the way, guys, buy our merch, link down below. Yep. We need some merch.
Here's the thing. We actually, I don't know if I can talk about this on the podcast. I guess I can.
You can, Costello said you could talk about whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, concerning GBA Temp merch, we actually did try a couple runs of it by using this site called Redbubble, and basically everybody complained, oh, I'm not going to pay $30 for a t-shirt. What are you talking about? Ew. Like, okay, sure. So we had almost zero to no sales from that. And this was when we were trying to sell actually masks. So cool GBA temp masks, but they were like $30 a mask. Nobody wanted to buy that. And it's like, why? It's just a cloth mask. And why should I pay $30 without even like shipping? In the price, so
see, I want to get annoyed by that, but I'm like, no, I wouldn't buy that shit either.
No, it was pretty
and I donate monthly to GBA Temp, and I'm just like, I don't really.
Yeah, but if Travis Scott, you know, had like a mask for $1,000, it would have been sold out like instantly, like a PS5, like it would be just gone.
Do you think we could get a Travis Scott on the podcast?
Yeah, I think
if the price was right. Guys, just buy our merch. Yeah. we're gonna be like Mr. Beast. We're gonna start having
GBA Temp and Travis Scott. You know, fuck McDonald's, dude.
Fuck McDonald's.
GBA Temp's where it's at. We need to. Oh, dude, we should legit do that. I'm gonna contact Costello. I think he has the connections.
Travis Scott's number. Is he on Twitter? We could just tweet him.
Is Travis official Scott on Twitter?
We could just tweet him once a day and ask if he wants to be on.
You know, our studio is quite dark. Yeah, I think we already said that, but the segue is good, so I'm just going to use it anyways. Speaking of studios, PlayStation Studios has finally revealed their top secret project that we've been speculating on for over 2 years now, I think. Well, I have at least, because we've been hearing that PlayStation has their own studio. They're working on something, working on supposedly already pre-existing franchises. This was like recently we found out about this, so people speculated, oh, is it Uncharted? Oh wait, maybe they're making a God of War spinoff? You know, some people thought, maybe it's Silent Hill. Maybe it's Metal Gear. Dude, what if? Makes sense, right? Sony needs those exclusives. And turns out, yes, this is already a franchise that exists.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh yeah, which one is it?
MLB The Show 21. Major League Baseball. Yeah!
Great.
And the best part about this PlayStation Studios developed game is that it's going to be available on all the platforms. It's going to be available on the Xbox and PC. That's great. It's
fuck the Switch.
It's almost like, imagine if God of War Ragnarok came to PC. This is the exact same thing. This is beautiful. I love gaming.
Neat.
Steven, I know you're a Major League Baseball fan. What do you think about this?
I don't think there's... God. I have no thoughts about this. I got nothing.
You got to keep the dead air in where he's just thinking about it. Does this mean that sorry, whoever's in Alan John's room.
I'm sorry, people, you know, coming in always. You know how parents are sometimes. Like, hey, are you doing something right now? Listen, your socks are dry. You should probably go take them already from the dryer.
Well, I got to deal with that too, man. One time my mom burst in the room in the middle of the podcast to tell me like my house was flooding or burned down or something. F-ing annoying bullshit.
Yeah. And he kept going. That was great. MLB. Cool. Does that mean that, you know, Microsoft who bought Bethesda, does that mean that I call it Skyrim 6 because I'm stupid. Elder Scrolls 6 is going to.
Wait a minute. Well, there was Xbox and PS3 and then the re-release on PS4 and Xbox One. And then there was like the Stadia one. There was Switch. There was there.
So we had Skyrim 10.
there was like an Alexa or something. That's 5. I don't know. Did I forget? Yeah. We might be at Skyrim 6 actually.
All right, sweet. So Skyrim 6, is that coming out for a PS5 then? Perhaps
we'll see. I probably. I don't think like the games that were already in development by Bethesda or by Machine Games or by any ZeniMax thing are going to be like exclusive to the Xbox and the Windows platforms.
Yeah, that'd be weird. Because I mean, there's already like 76 Fallout games, and they're all like multi-plat. So I assume that Fallout 77 will also, you know what I mean?
Imagine if it really is called Fallout 77. Imagine if they were that.
Takes place a year later. Yep.
Just 77. That would have been terrible. Speaking of terrible, Netflix wanted to make a Zelda live action show. Wow. Okay.
Great.
2015. Yeah. So that would have turned out just great. Like, imagine Stranger Things, but it's Zelda.
Was it? I thought it was supposed to be like rated T Game of Thrones kind of.
Oh, we're on Zelda already? Shit.
Yep.
Yeah, we're talking about Zelda. Where the fuck were you, Steven? We're talking here. Are you not listening? Are you not paying attention? Dude, even whoever's in Alan John's room right now is paying attention, telling about his socks. No, yeah.
You go in my room too. I'm sorry, I don't have a fucking camera, Eric.
I thought that the Netflix Legend of Zelda was supposed to be like a rated T, not rated T, rated PG 13,
rated TV 14. Eric.
Rated TV 14. Game of Thrones as opposed to rated TV MA.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. Netflix was describing it as the Game of Thrones for a family audience. So what is that? Is that like Hercules Adventures or something?
It's weird to me because like Zelda, I love Zelda games except for Breath of the Wild. I don't like it that much, but every other Zelda game I've played, and I loved them. Like, I even like fucking Spirit Tracks, right? So, I actually didn't like Spirit Tracks. I'm going to pretend that I like Spirit Tracks. So, but the games aren't very character-driven, right? Like, I don't understand. I don't see how it would really work. It's mostly just like, you know, you go, you do some cool shit, you do some puzzles, you save the princess, and that's it. It's like, are we going to do like a... There's like more character development in Mario games sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, this just doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm not a huge Zelda or Game of Thrones fan, but Game of Thrones is a lot of political drama, isn't it? Isn't it various factions and countries within a continent fighting over the throne? So, like, but yeah. That's not, I mean, in Zelda, it's basically all in Hyrule, I'm pretty sure. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, Hyrule is the big one. Then there's like, you know, a couple other places. It's like, oh, you could go up Death Mountain and hang out with, you know, those little rock eating boys, or you could go down the river and hang out with those little fishy boys, or if you're in the, you know, downfall timeline, you get to hang out with the little birdie boys.
That's true. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because even in Breath, yeah, there's a little bit of that, I guess, and they're all different races.
I'm sorry, but you guys are ignoring like the biggest issue with converting Zelda into a live action movie or TV show. The main protagonist is mute.
No,
Lick never says anything.
Well, he says excuse me, princess.
No, he talks all the time. He says yeah, and he says who, and he says yeah.
Yeah,
it's great dialogue.
He's like excuse me, princess, and sometimes he's like, yeah, he talked a lot in the CDI games too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he did.
I know you just referenced the TV show there with the excuse me, princess. Do you remember? I rewatched some of those recently. Do you remember how horny everyone was in that show?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was really weird. Have you ever seen it, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
No, everyone. No. Link is constantly trying to fuck Zelda, and then there's this fairy that is constantly trying to fuck Link. And then there's one dude where, like, or one episode where, like, a handsome guy shows up and Zelda keeps trying to fuck him. And, like, everyone is just horny all the time in that show. It's really weird.
After this podcast, you guys and everybody who's listening who's over the age of 18 should watch the Legend of Neil web series where this dude, he gets sucked into the Legend of Zelda game. He's just some dude from our world. And he tries to erotically asphyxiate himself to the fairy in the original Legend of Zelda, and it transports him into the game. It's a very funny web series from Comedy Central, actually, I think, helped produce it.
Hometown just gave you a red card, Eric.
I'm allowed to talk about whatever I want in the podcast, so I say Legend of Neil is good.
I wonder, but I guess where I was going is, do you think the TV Zelda Netflix show would have been as horny, or would they have deviated from the source material?
I think it would have been like a teen drama, like I don't know. I feel like,
oh, like a fantasy, like Dawson's Creek or something, like
yeah, something like that, or like oh man, what's that show that was based off of the Archie comics?
Oh, Riverdale,
where it's like the source material is all lighthearted and it's all
like
goofy,
like a gay character shows up in Hyrule. That's a big storyline,
yeah, exactly. And it's Link, yeah. The whole time.
You know what's interesting is, so this got canned around 2015, right?
Yep.
Because that's when it leaked.
Yeah.
It was only a couple of years after that they did the Dark Crystal revival, which is exactly what Netflix is talking about here. It's a family-friendly Game of Thrones. Like, that is 100%.
And that got canceled.
Yeah, it got canceled, yeah. But at least they made the show, and that is to a T what they're describing this Netflix series as. That Dark Crystal show is fucking amazing, by the way, for anyone who hasn't seen it.
I loved it. I'm really upset that it got canceled. I'm really upset.
It was the weirdest thing, because they did the series and then waited like a year and a half, or like I think it was like 13, 14 months to say whether it was canceled or not. And then it won an Emmy, and then they canceled it like the week after it won an Emmy. It was so weird.
Doesn't make any sense.
Fire Emblem would also suit that really well as like a family-friendly Game of Thrones.
Fire Emblem would have suited it way more than Legend of Zelda.
That's all political.
I'm just a little upset. I wish that there was more Fire Emblem representation in Smash Bros, but like, since there's not, since we only have like 20 characters from that, we should put it into a live action TV series.
People need to know about Fire Emblem.
Might as well do a Mother one also.
Yeah.
Why would you watch a Legend of Zelda TV series? I mean, the plot is obvious. Like, Link beats Ganon in the end. That's
not always. No. Don't you know how the downfall timeline starts? It's when adult Link dies in Ocarina of Time, which is a hypothetical situation, as opposed to the other two timelines that actually occur in the same thing, because he beats Ganon and then
forgot. You're a Legend of Zelda expert.
Yeah, you know, there's three timelines. It's like he defeats Ganon and then he goes back home. So there's the timeline where he goes home, and there's the timeline where he beat Ganon. But then it's like, hypothetically, if he lost to Ganon, all of the best games happen. So you, Legend of Zelda timeline.
You know, I don't want to upset anyone, but like, I'm just asking questions. What if Zelda lost? Or Link, or whoever.
What if Zelda lost?
Oh, no.
What if Zelda was a girl?
What if Zelda was a girl? What would they name her?
Linkle?
Do you agree with me that that's kind of stupid? That like two of the timelines came from one event and the other one is just like a hypothetical what if? It's like, are you telling me that it's like, is this a multiversal thing where there are infinite timelines? Or I thought this was the split timeline theory, where there was one timeline that then split. Like, what is this? Is this Dragon Ball Z, or is this Dragon Ball Heroes logic? Like, what are we talking about?
Here's a serious answer to your silly question. The thing is, when these games were made, when they were developed, nobody cared about timelines, like, at all.
And nothing has changed in the last 25 years.
At least with Nintendo. Because, like, oh, this is Legend of Zelda. Okay, this is Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Where does it take place? It's Zelda. You're running around. And here's Link's adventure. It's Zelda. You're on an Link's island. Awakening. It's got an egg on top of it. Well, who cares? Whatever. Oh, Zelda, the Ocarina of Time. What is that? Oh, is this the origins of Link? Who cares? Whatever. You're playing at Zelda, you know, dungeons and shit. Whatever. But once it hit the 2000s, now people are speculating, oh, wait, maybe this takes place after, maybe this takes place before. So Nintendo just cobbled up like a freaking, you know, timeline they made up after the fact, of course.
But they could have made it work in two timelines, but they had to make it in three because
fuck maybe them. They were bitter. They didn't like all these people that kept asking about the timelines and they wanted to piss them off. So they're like, listen, all you fucking nerds, get ready for the fucking
homie, it worked.
Or what's it called? The downfall.
It worked.
Yeah.
The downfall timeline. What if he lost? Then let's put all of the really good games in that one.
If all the bad games were in that one, would it bother you less?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I take them all as they come, except for Breath of the Wild. I don't even know where that fits.
Who cares? It's Zelda. You're playing. You run around as Link. You got the sword. You got the Master Sword, Master Shield. You go to dungeons. Who cares? You got to save the princess.
Actually, he doesn't always have the Master Sword, and there is no such thing as a Master Shield. So you might want to check yourself next time before you start making an ass of yourself, Mr. Alan John.
Okay. Sure. Whatever.
And the bad guy is not always Ganon. In fact, sometimes it is this character named Vadi.
Who?
Vadi.
Is that the wizard from Link to the Past who turns out to be Ganon?
No, that's Anglingbledicam. I don't remember how to say his name. I always just thought it was Abraham, but it wasn't. It's Anagram.
Vadi, Dadi, we like to party.
His name is Anagram.
Anagram.
Vadi is like a I-thing who's sometimes a little kid.
Speaking of anagrams, you know what the anagram to my GBA temp username is? Check that out sometime. Maybe it's kind of fun.
Anal John?
Is it poopy?
And on that note, we're going to end this episode tonight. Thank you guys for listening to this very short episode, because I'm pretty sure the light's going to go out because there's a storm outside our Texas studio. And I would lose all my recordings because I don't have a UPS here because I'm just connected straight to the grid. So if the grid goes down, everything goes down and the recording as well. So thank you guys for listening. Steven, any final remarks? Because we didn't get your MLB opinion. What's your final thoughts on that?
I just think that sometimes there are games that come by that define a generation, and it's hard to appreciate them in their time because you don't the changes that come from it are so gradual. But I think in 10 or 15 years we'll be looking back at this title and looking back at it the same way we do Ocarina of Time or, you know, the original Mario Brothers.
Yeah, which were flops when they came out. You're absolutely right.
Yep. Nobody liked them.
Nobody did. I think that MLB 21 is going to be one of those. Yeah. All right, bye.
Hey, see you later. Yeah.